Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cedarstrom. I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And it is Friday, August 18th, 2023. Hi, Butch.
Hey, Melody. How are you doing today?
I'm doing just great. Thanks.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. It's a beautiful day here in the hills. Hope it is up where you are. And
looking
forward to the weekend.
It's a little windy today, 20-mile-an-hour winds, but no humidity, low humidity, have humidity, but it's low, and a beautiful day.
Yes, amen. Well, I was just thinking about our oldest grandson flew in on his own dime from Colorado to spend a week with Mamaw and Papaw, 22 years old, and I thought that is such a blessing, such an honor to have a 22-year-old grandson who wants to come spend a week with Mamaw and Papaw. Generally, 20-year-olds don't have a whole lot in common with old people. So anyway.
Awesome.
Awesome. I thought that was really sweet, you know.
But I bet you take them fishing and all that kind of stuff.
Well, we got a trip planned. After Sunday, we got a gentleman, a friend of mine, who does what they call backcountry riding, mule-drawn wagons. It's backcountry up called Cranberry. There's 50,000 acres, nothing in it, just woods and trees and water and just nature. And normally, Sunday afternoons, he doesn't do that. But he said, I have to do some maintenance anyway. You come on up and bring your family with you. I'll take you back with me. So I'm looking forward to that.
Well, that'll be fun.
I think so. Just sit back, relax, buying two old mules and this little plot, just let them plot along the road and watch nature. Cranberry backcountry, like I said, is up about 4,000 feet up in air, and it's nothing. There's nothing in there. I mean, if you go in there, you got to take a horse or walk, or something mm-hmm. like that. You can't take cars back in there. Nothing mm-hmm. motorized. It's a mm-hmm. nice place to spend a little bit of time if you want quiet.
Mm. Sounds like a wonderful thing.
Well, come on down. You go with us.
Because they're the last thing that you're going to find around where I live is quiet. You got to travel. So, but anyway, it was a little quiet in the markets today. Anyway, you have gold holding 1,890. Let's take a peek at the futures contracts for gold. We're looking at 1918 on December's future contract. So that was higher by a couple bucks. Silver contracts, the futures on that. The COMEX, silver COMEX was up 8 cents at 22.79. Let's take a peek at palladium. Up $34 at 1,287. And platinum was up 20 at 923. USDX today was probably a little weaker, not by much. It's still 103.39. Crude oil was up almost a buck at 81.31. Paper markets today, they did recover from the lows of the day. The NASDAQ still fell 26 points today, but the Dow was up 26. Interesting, with the Dow being up 26. Now, I don't know if they're going to tick some of these numbers, you know, because sometimes it's, you know, it's 405. Once in a while, you'll see a little change in, you know, one of the little numbers here. But it's interesting. The Dow was up 26.16, okay? The NASDAQ was down 26.16. How's that work in a real world?
Wow, that's, what are the odds of that?
What are the odds of that happening? So, again, that's what I'm looking at right now. This should be the close. But come on. Can't they be any more creative than that?
Oh, it's just coincidence.
Yeah, okay. Sure it is, Butch.
Of course.
Asian markets were all negative. Hang Seng was down 2%. Shanghai, China was down 1%. European markets were all negative, but none of them were over 1%. The bonds, 10-year yield, 4.24, almost 4.25. And natural gas today was down almost 2% at 2.56. Butch, I got a tickle in my throat. Do you want to
take over a minute? I guess
take
I
over
can
for
that.
Just a minute. Okay.
I can do that, and I'll just start off, folks, with a little word of wisdom from a guy. I remember a guy named Mark Twain. Of course, I wouldn't need a real name, but his name is Clemens. But nonetheless, he said this, and I want you to listen. Well, this is Bible also, but arguing with fools. We put it this way: never argue with stupid people. They will drag you down to their level, and then beat you with experience. So there you go. Bible said don't argue with fools. Let's, you know, you start be acting like one. So don't argue with stupid people because they'll drag you down to where they are and then beat you with experience. I thought that was very well put. And all of us have a temptation to want to get into different discussion with people that simply will refuse to see the truth. So move on. Melanie, you get back, just holler at me, okay? We have a lot to talk about here. No problem feeling a little bit of time in here. I started a story here Friday or Wednesday that I want to share today, finish up with today, on Marxism Alert. 15-minute city comes to Arizona. Now, I know this many years ago, at least 10 years ago, maybe longer than that, I started talking about what they had planned for 15-minute cities and sustainable communities and sustainable development. And we hear that sustainable development now talked about a lot. When I started reading about the 15-minute cities, you know, even I had a little bit of problems to understand how can they do that? How can that work? Now we're starting to see it happen. When you stop and think, why, folks, why all of a sudden these strange fires that are so hot that they melt cars but they don't burn trees down, like in Maui, or the fires in Canada burning hundreds of thousands of acres, could they be crowding people out of the country and put them in sustainable communities and build 15-minute cities? I'm just asking a question, not saying anything contrary, yay or nay. Except to me, it seems like it's kind of obvious something going on. But anyway, if you don't know what 15-minute cities are, you should. It is what the Marxist globalists planned to for your future, and it's come to Arizona. 15-minute cities are where everyone lives in little apartments. No one has cars, and everything is just a short walk or bike ride away. And it's so good for the planet, we're told. Oxford, England is being thus transformed into a community that seems suspiciously like 15-minute city is being completed in Tempe, Arizona, USA. Now, you remember Klaus Schwab said by 2030, a little below, about 6.5 years or less from now, you own nothing and be happy. Well, wouldn't this be a handy thing to have? To live in a little apartment, everything's within 15 minutes of where you are, walk or a bike ride, don't need cars, everything's so convenient for you. Well, But what you're not told is that this is how the globalist markets plan to impose tyranny. Well, the World Economic Forum did admit that part, but almost nobody seems to have noticed. An article from 2016 World Economic Forum described the world where there no one has private transportation. There's no such thing as private property. Even a person's apartment can be used for other purposes by the powers that be whenever necessary. Everything is under 24-hour surveillance. Even cooking equipment has to be borrowed from the authorities. And AI and robots are in charge of most jobs. It's an authoritarian dystopia. Saudi Arabia's plan for 15-minute city called The Line also included many of these same features. Despite urban sprawl and the idea that we need cars to get around, managers at Cul-de-sac Tempe insist the residents are doing fine without them. They're given bikes and discounted rates for electric scooters, Lyft and rental car services, not to mention unlimited access to the light rail. We want to create that idea of a cul-de-sac, but in a neighborhood environment, said Aaron Boyd with the Cul-de-sac Tempe Government and External Affairs. It's 17 acres of Apache Boulevard and McClinic Drive, a complex of 700 apartments with each resident living without a car. I'm a big believer in sustainability. That's what attracted me to the site. He said his grocery store will be next to the restaurant, coffee shop, co-working space, and even courtyards and retail spots. It checks a lot of 15-minute city boxes, but the sustainability propaganda, the lack of private transportation, everything within walking distance, managers who monitor and to some degree control residents' lives, the apartments all jammed together in a small area of land. So what about if you want to travel outside the community? That question isn't addressed because you aren't supposed to want to go outside your little community. You will own nothing. You'll be fenced into a little square area of land, and you will like it, peasant. That's called progress. Well, think about that, Melody. That's going on in Tempe, Arizona right now as we speak.
Well, you know, we're beginning to hear a lot more about commercial real estate, about how it's going to fail, and talk about a lot of these office complexes, of the offices that are standing empty being converted into housing. So what you're talking about kind of reminds me of this is the next phase that will become popular. They will turn these office buildings into apartments.
Oh, yes.
Which
yes.
is kind of much, you know, where you're going to have, you know, one little room and to where they'll keep everyone together and so forth. So, yeah, it's very much in the play.
That's been talked about, you know. They're doing that with the business office now. They're going to convert them into apartments, like you said.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, it is coming, and it's. I mean, we've even seen this before in various. I mean, we already see it in big cities. No one owns cars.
That's true.
They live in little apartments.
And
you know, they pay $5,000 for a, you know, 500-square-foot living area.
And we know that not too long ago they started charging people to drive downtown places like New York City. They're going to charge you just drive downtown, extra taxes for driving downtown. We can see the noose tightening, can't we?
Yes, we can.
You know, they don't take a rocket science to see that.
No, not at all. And who gains from it also?
Yeah,
look at the
exactly.
wealth that's created. Look, they get more powerful and more. They get more wealthier and richer and powerful.
Well, it's all about control. You know that. So we're seeing it
yes,
happen.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. We're seeing it happen. But in Tempe, Arizona, we can no longer say America doesn't have these 15-minute cities. We now have one for sure. There are others in the works also. But that's one they've got to have up and running right now. What a wonderful idea. Wow. And you're talking about downtowns dying because a lot of regions, mostly because of crime. In this particular instance, and you probably saw this on TV, but a 166-year-old luxury retailer in San Francisco warns this could be our last year. Folks, this is really sad. John Chachas, owner of luxury department store Gump's San Francisco, wrote an open letter to Governor Newsom, Mayor London Breed, and the city's board of supervisors, pleading for them to act on what he declares is the city's worsening downtown conditions. Today, as we prepare for a 166th holiday season at 250 Post Street. We fear this may be our last, Shakas wrote in an open letter published as a paid ad in Sunday edition of San Francisco Chronicle. Gumps, which sells luxury furnishings and jewelry, was acquired by Shakas after the retailer filed Chapter 11 bankruptcy in 2018. The high-end retailer, founded in San Francisco in 1861 and born out of the famed California Gold Rush, has only one physical location, which is one block from the city's Union Square. The ramifications of COVID policies advising people to abandon their offices are only beginning to be understood. Equally devastating have been a litany of destructive San Francisco strategies, including allowing the homeless to occupy our sidewalks, to openly distribute and use legal drugs, to harass the public, and to defile the city streets. Caucus, who ran for a U.S. Senate seat in Nevada as Republican in 2010, argued that current conditions like make San Francisco unlivable for its residents, unsafe for our employees, and unwelcome to visitors from around the world. San Francisco's Mayor London Breed, California Governor Gavin Newsom, and San Francisco Board of Supervisors office did not respond to CNN's request for comment. That's so sad. San Francisco was a beautiful city. I said many times I was there. But it's gotten so bad now, Melody, that workers in San Francisco's Nancy Pelosi Federal Building are told to stay home due to crime. Now imagine that. They're shutting down the building's work because they can't come out because of crime. Workers on Nancy Pelosi Federal Building in San Francisco were told to work from home indefinitely given conditions in the downtown area. The building at the intersection of 7th and Mission Streets is home to the office of former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, as well as the local branches of several federal agencies, including the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, the U.S. Department of Labor, and the U.S. Department of Transportation. The area around the building has also become a notorious hotspot for open-air drug dealing. According to the San Francisco Chronicle, building workers received a memo penned by Cheryl Campbell, an assistant secretary with the Department of Health and Human Services, on August 4th. It advised workers to stay home for the foreseeable future because of crime in the area. In light of the conditions at the federal building, we recommend employees maximize the use of telework for the foreseeable future, Campbell wrote in the memo, according to the Chronicle. Campbell also wrote that the recommendation should be extended to building employees who do not currently use work-from-home options. As San Francisco's fentanyl crisis continues to worsen, city officials are ramping up efforts to crack down on drug dealing, including the formation of a joint task force comprising officials from the San Francisco Police Department, the California Highway Patrol, and California National Guard. Those efforts have yielded mixed results. But it's so bad, it's getting so out of order, when you have to tell people don't come to work because it's too dangerous. Wow. Melody, that's unthinkable.
Well, we're hearing it everywhere, you know, where various places are saying, you know, stay home, be careful. And, you know, I saw a video last night where I'm sure it was in California, where a 70-year-old plus woman was being dragged. Two people were trying to steal her purse.
Wow.
Over 70 years old on the ground being dragged. It's you know, and people say, well, these are just isolated. You know, even if they're isolated, look what is happening. When do people treat people like this and are not held accountable? That's the issue, because it's only going to get worse.
Yes, it is.
So that's no longer going to be, you know, just here and there, a random event. And I don't think it's as random, you know, because each one is getting more and more severe. And it's shocking. Which I hate to think that this has been going on for a long, longer than what we think it has been going on. I mean, to some degree, but.
Well, there's always been some problems. Obviously, crime is crime, but it's now turned into a stage 4 cancer scenario.
Get away with it. They get away with it. And then with the social media, it is then being publicized, shown on these videos. People take cameras and their phones and they take pictures and they post them on Facebook and everywhere else. So it gives the criminal even more power, saying, well, gee, look at those guys. There was four of them. They went into this jewelry store. They were able to knock down and walk out with $500,000 or dollars more. We can do that. So it gives, there's no deterrence in anything.
No, it's
because
quick,
you never
it's
hear
quick,
about
quick
these
profit.
People getting, yeah, it's quick a quick profit. Yeah.
No consequences.
And heaven forbid, if you're one of those store owners and you take care of your place, and then you end up in jail. So it's going to get much worse.
Oh, yes.
Much, much worse. And that's sad.
Yeah, economy is going to get a lot worse, and that's when it's going to really start falling apart.
And I hear something that sounds like we're heading into a break, Butch. So
all right,
first
already.
Segment went
wow.
by really fast already. We'll be right back. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And if you ask me how I'm feeling, don't tell me you're too blind to see. Never gonna give you up, never gonna let you down, never gonna run around and desert you, never gonna make you cry, never gonna say goodbye, never gonna tell a lie and hurt you, never gonna give you up.
And welcome back. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom. I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul. Give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit the website, dgscoins.com. dgscoins.com. Butch.
Yes. You know, how many times have you heard somebody say, well, that doesn't bother me. It doesn't affect me, so I read, you know, I don't pay attention. Have you ever heard that before?
I believe I have.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, it's no big deal. It doesn't bother me. I'm getting by. Let it be. Just go along, get along. Well, it's going to change a lot of things. It already has started to change already, but this is important. Major supermarket with 165 locations forced to spend $300,000 on security as it battles through $500,000 in shoplifting losses. So right there is $800,000, almost $1 million they spent and lost trying to keep the stores open. The Giant Food Store in Southeast Washington, D.C. has already spent $300,000 on security because of an uptick in crime at the location. There are no plans to shutter the location at this time, but community leaders are sounding the alarm. Trayton White, a city council person representing a neighborhood, held a press conference about the issue last week. We had the opportunity to meet with some of the leadership of this giant, the local leader said, as it reported in WJLA. What we heard was disheartening. White learned that the store had lost more than $500,000 worth of product, which is equivalent to roughly 20% of the location sales. Management told him that about $300,000 investment they made in security, but apparently hasn't stopped the thieves. That did not derail the people from stealing. In fact, the regional manager told us that people will have stuff in their carts walking straight through the door, with grocery carts full. He said the workers have stopped 135 shoplifters at stores since the start of the year, and almost double that number managed to get away. Residents have also complained of feeling uncomfortable walking to a store with their kids due to the number of thieves retargeted. We know it's tough times, and we know the price of food has skyrocketed in the last 3 years, the city councilman said. But we cannot afford to hurt ourselves by constantly taking it from the store. Supermarket is one of just four grocery outlets on that east side of the Anacostia River. If the store closes, neighborhood's residents will have to travel further to buy healthy food. This means that everybody is going to be without a place to eat, White said. Enough is enough. So John has 165 locations in Delaware, Maryland, Virginia, and D.C. Stores are going to close the doors because of thieves. Now, Melly, that affects a whole neighborhood, doesn't it?
Yes, it does, you know, and of course we already hear about how so many of these neighborhoods are already affected because they are never serviced to and so forth, and, you know, the violins come out and so forth. But, you know, these areas that have high crime and stores close, hey, they do it upon themselves, so, you know.
And neighborhoods get frustrated.
And they always do kind of stick to their own neighborhoods.
Oh, yeah, they do.
Well, except in California when they go into the wealthier neighborhoods for their jewelry and so forth, but... I mean, for stores and everything, yeah, it's usually their own neighborhoods.
Well, the president of the company, Ira Kress, said to say theft has risen tenfold in the last 5 years will be an understatement. The last thing I want to do is close stores, he said, but I've got to be able to run them safely and profitably. I would take that as a warning, wouldn't you?
You'd think.
Gee. But it is so sad when crime gets bad. The businesses have been the business as the one for 166 years may have closed the door because of thievery. That certainly shows the decline of a nation's morality, if nothing else.
We just end up turning our
yeah, what doesn't affect me? That's in California. That don't affect me out here in West Virginia, Melody. Gee whiz. That one in D.C., I mean, that's a long ways from me. That's way up north of me. That doesn't affect me. Why should I worry about it?
Why should you worry about it, man?
Yeah, it can't come here.
Coming to a city near you.
Absolutely. Absolutely it is. It truly, truly is. Titanic Chinese property developer Evergrande filed for bankruptcy. Did you know that?
Who?
Evergrande.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We talked about it before.
That they filed for bankruptcy on Thursday?
Mm-hmm. Well, that they were falling apart. They were falling apart and everything.
Well,
absolutely.
They filed yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
A combination of 2 years of distress as China troubled property market slides further into crisis. But you all talked about that, I think, on the show yesterday, did you not, or did you? Did you all discuss the program yesterday since it happened yesterday? Did y'all discuss it yesterday?
Well, go ahead and talk about it because it's important.
It ties into the next article also with China. You know, everyone thinks China's booming and everything's prospering and everything's booming and they're growing, but that isn't true. China also runs on fiat currency. Evergrande was once China's largest property developer, and its rise was a symbol of how important the indebted real estate sector had become to China's economy. Some estimates say the sector accounts for 30% of China's gross domestic product. That's huge. Real estate investments and home ownership become an important focus for precautionary savings in China, a place to stash excess income in a country seen by its own populace as having few safe outlets for investment. Owning real estate also plays an important role in China's culture as a status symbol, making the collapse of Evergrande even more important. Evergrande filed for Chapter 15 bankruptcy in Manhattan. Chapter 15 makes bankruptcy a protection of the U.S. law available to foreign companies. Much of Evergrande's corporate debt was held by U.S. and European institutional investors. Now, let's repeat that. Much of Evergrande's Chinese developer was held by U.S. and European institutional investors. Evergrande has been under intense pressure since 2021 when it first defaulted on its bonds. Now, something never happens in China, at least not very often. Furious investors protest outside China's insolvent shadow banking giant after it misses payments, warns liquidity has suddenly dried up. Now, China is not known for protesters too much. But things are getting really, really ugly, very ugly, for both the so-called China Blackstones and China in general. Just after they reported that this secretive shadow banking giant, Zhongguang, also called China's Blackstone, as it manages, or rather managed, $1 trillion in AUM, had missed payments on multiple shadow bankings products, stoking fresh worries about contagion amid China's deflationary pressures and, of course, a tottering real estate sector such as the remainder of the is the largest asset class on the earth. Overnight, Bloomberg reported that Zhongguang's troubles have accelerated, and then the asset manager not only missed payments on dozens of products, adding to delays in the last 10 orders, others since late July, but has no immediate plan to make clients whole, indicating the troubles at the embattled Chinese shadow bank are deeper than previously known. The troubles are so deep, in fact, that Zhongguang, which is one of the largest players in China's $3 trillion shadow banking industry, appears to be effectively insolvent. The company doesn't have any immediate plan to cover the payments since its short-term liquidity has suddenly dried up, said Wang Quang, board secretary of the firm partly owned by financial giant Zhongji Enterprise Group. He added that the number of products which missed payments has risen, and the company is facing a tsunami of questions from investors and their own wealth managers, according to the people familiar, who asked not to be identified because the meeting was private. Wang asked for patience as the firm seeks to recoup the value of its investments. Unfortunately, investor patience has dried up, and from a separate Bloomberg report, we learned that various Chinese investors protest outside the office of Zhongguang in a rare show of public outrage after the firm skipped payments on dozens of investment products. So they're leading Evergrande, went bankrupt. The so-called China's Blackstone group are going under. So I think maybe this could be serious for China, Melody. What do you think?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of things going on. There was another article today about how China's state developers warn of losses as crisis spreads. So people aren't really paying attention to China, and there's so many other things that are going on when you look at these currencies and what, you know, Japan is doing and so many of these others. So, yeah, you got the China state-owned property developers are warning of widespread losses, fueling concerns that the housing crisis expanding from the private sector to companies with government backing. So, yeah, that's just everything is just adding and building. 18 out of 38 wow. State-owned enterprise builders listed in Hong Kong and the mainland reported preliminary losses in the 6 months ending June 30th, up from 11. That warned of full-year losses just in 2022. So, yeah, the warning signals are there. And there is a contagion. You also have a Country Garden Holdings company that could be next, with speculation that they're going to default. So I think there's a couple of them that haven't been able to meet their payments and so forth. So, yeah, things are brewing over in China. And you have China unveils measures to revive the stock market. Okay, you know, they're learning from the U.S. So, yeah, they wouldn't be doing this if they didn't think there was going to be issues. And so, yeah.
Well, I remember Bob Chapman telling us to keep an eye on China. Yeah. Remember he told us that a long time ago, keep an eye on China.
Absolutely.
So, I don't know. I don't know what that means. You know, I do know when nations get financially in trouble, war becomes an option.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That could be why China is flexing their muscles with Taiwan.
Yep. I got that argument there too. Yep, they sure are.
You know, absolutely. I mean, and they got how many more people than we do that they have to control?
Oh, yeah.
So starting a war first, hey. But there's other ways to start wars than just the kind that we've had in the past. When you look at what they're doing and they look at the amount of debt that they own, U.S. debt that they own, the pharmaceuticals that they create and send to us, we're so dependent on China.
Yes, we are.
So my question is, how is the U.S. going to help China? we going to bail them out? Start bailing them out?
Well, if we don't, how are we going to feed ourselves? Because we depend on them to take care of us.
Absolutely.
That's sad. That's so sad, but it's true. That's true.
Yeah.
While this is happening in China, we have another internal problem happening here. You probably saw this also, but the tough-talking union leader guiding auto workers to the brink of a strike. Sean Fain won the presidency of the United Auto Workers by convincing members that the union had been too complacent and cozy with industry for too long. So in contract talks, Fain isn't going to cozy at all. He has railed against corporate greed and refused to shake hands with automotive CEOs. Now listen to this. He has demanded a 40% wage increase. Now, that would make it about even with inflation over the last 3-4 years. That's true.
Well, look what UPS got. Look what UPS got.
What did he get? I didn't hear that. What did he get?
A boatload.
Oh, really?
I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but I think the average guy now is going to make $140,000, $170,000?
Yes, I did see that. Which in itself will stoke inflation even more. You know that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, they have to raise their prices to cover this.
Mm-hmm.
During a recent Facebook Live update to his members, he discussed he dumped one of the automaker's proposals in a waste paper basket. That's where it belongs, in the trash, because that's what it is, Fain 54 declared before repeating a veiled threat to strike. Soon those threats could become more overt. Union members will vote next week on whether to authorize their leadership to call a work stoppage when their contract expires on September 14th. Such votes typically pass, but this time observers think a strike is quite possible, a step that would destabilize an industry that makes up 3% of the nation's gross domestic product. Fain's stance, ambitious, belligerent, and very publicly ticked off, is setting a tense tone for contract negotiations hurling toward a deadline with big implications for the economy, the green energy transition, and the future middle-class manufacturing wages. Wow. I mean, the economy, yes, I can understand why they want a big pay raise. Sure, who wouldn't? But it's like minimum wage laws. They just stoke inflation. You're just feeding on yourself. Mm-hmm. You get a pay raise, price will go up. You don't gain anything. Comments, Melody?
Well, yeah, there's another way of looking at these huge price raises. It just goes to show how expensive everything is.
Oh, yes.
And that they're looking for more money to just survive. So when our interest rate, our inflation is, 3.6 or whatever that they are claiming, it's bull. And just goes to show how people are hurting. They're living paycheck to paycheck.
I can understand that. I mean, my auto insurance went up about $300 every 6 months, which doesn't sound like a lot to people, but it's a lot to me. And that's Geico. It's not some kind of junky company. And I looked at four tires for the car, about $800 for decent tires. I tell you, this stuff is hard to come by, Melody. It's not, when you don't want to count a fixed income, it's hard to make up a difference sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
It is. Nearly half of parents struggle to afford diapers. I'll make a comment when I finish this article, but I thought this was interesting. The price of diapers has skyrocketed since the pandemic, causing a financial strain for parents and low-income families. As parents well know, babies can go through more than a dozen diapers every day. The average package price for that necessity has increased from $16.54 in 2019 to $21.90, according to NIQ data on U.S. sales of disposable diapers. So about $22, almost $2 a pop on change a baby's diaper now. The National Diaper Bank Network, a nonprofit that works with diaper banks across the country and helps groups collect and give out free diapers to those in need, reports that nearly half, 47% of American families, are struggling to afford diapers in 2023. Now, I'm going to say this, and this is so old-fashioned, probably so insane in today's mind.
And I know where you're going, but go ahead.
Uh-huh. Mom used to wash them.
Yes, how about that?
Yeah, she'd have a couple dozen pair, and she'd wash them and the dozen got dirty. You wash them, you put them in the dryer, hang them on the line to dry, and you have clean diapers for the next time around. Today, we think we got to buy them at $2 a piece and throw them in a trash can. Well, back then, they washed the diapers and reused them. And what an idea, what a novel idea to save money. Use cloth diapers. Melody, I know that's absurd in today's society, but they worked, and they were cheaper. comments on that?
Nope, I knew that's where you were going. It's like, yeah, you're absolutely right, you know, and you could even create businesses because you'd have diaper services.
There you go. Hey, there,
that would come around. Yeah.
Good point.
So,
good point.
Pick them up and clean them for you and drop them off. So if you're a hardworking woman, then you at least you'd have a little bit of help. And but
they used to put flour in collared sacks. So people used the flour sacks to make things out of. Mom used to make bed sheets out of flour sacks. They were just fine. They were very comfortable. But they were like flowers, flowered pattern, different things, different colors. And she'd make bed sheets out of them. Isn't that something? What happened to all those ideas?
What century did you live in?
Clear back last century. Clear back
I'm
in the 1900s.
Teasing. I'm just kidding. Hey, I hear the music. We're heading into a break. You've got to remember, I'm only 39, so that's all new to me. But we'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
We may lose and we may win, but we will never be here again. So open up.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul. And yeah, we're so many things. We worked a little bit harder, but we certainly were far more well off than where we are today.
And content. Absolutely
content. Now all people do is work, and
get further behind.
Further behind.
And don't even know their neighbors.
True. Very true.
Sad. Did you notice the price of gas last couple of days?
It's moving on up to four.
Yep. Ours went up 24 cents overnight. Last night. It was last night. Yeah. Over 24 cents in one night. 24 cents even, actually. U.S. gas pump prices surged a 10-month high. At a time when gasoline prices on average should be falling, U.S. pump prices are soaring up 7 weeks in a row, the longest streak since 2022. While drivers benefited from the availability of cheap prices as the summer driving season began, they're now facing pressures as national average prices within pennies of the highest in a year, and given the surge in WTI crude and wholesale gasoline prices, which tend to lead retail prices by 1-2 weeks, things are about to get a whole lot more painful again. While July CPI, Consumer Price Index data, is looking pretty good with energy prices well below their year-ago average, August data is going to look nearly as friendly. So here we go again. What would Uncle Joe do? Drain the SPR again? We blame it on Saudi Arabia.
I don't think he can drain it again because it's already empty. Yeah.
Well, he can go and beg Saudi Arabia to open it up again. They didn't listen last time.
True.
You know, but it's just, and we could be energy independent. We could be, but we're not. Any comments on that?
No.
And just like that, folks, this is Bible being fulfilled as quickly as time will take it. And just like that, the Brazilian central bank goes live with digital currency. It's official. The Brazilian central bank has announced the introduction of the CBDC. It's called DREX, D-R-E-X, the acronym for Digital Real Electronic X. Real is Brazil's currency, and the finished logo reveals the project is, in fact, quite advanced. Here's the meat of the central bank's press release. DREX is coming to facilitate the life of Brazilians. I like that way, though. We're going to facilitate the life of Brazilians. Oh, boy. With a new face, a central bank digital currency project created and operated by the Brazilian central bank, has its own name, previously called Real Digital. Well, it will provide a safe and regulated environment for new businesses and more democratic access to the benefits of digitalizing the economy for the citizens and entrepreneurs. The coordinator of the initiative at the central bank, Fabio Arrojo, had more to add. During a live event for the press, he emphasized that the development of DREX is primarily aimed at improving access to financial service. He added that by enabling simple and reliable access to registered values through DLT technology, we reduce cost and democratize access to financial services. Even though CBDCs are not crypto, they're just digital fiat currency. Even though it's based on blockchain technology, DREX is actually a tokenized, real regulated by the central bank. That's what each and every central CBDC is being developed at the moment is about. And believe me, every country's CB is currently working on that. Yes, they certainly are. And one step beyond that, Australia banks stop using cash. Checks to be terminated by 2030. Recently, a few Australian banks have stopped making cash available to customers. More banks are likely to follow suit, clearing the pathway toward a fully cashless society. Jimmy Dore explains the risk of putting your faith in banks. In early 2022, Canadian truckers protested against COVID vaccines in Canada's capital, and Prime Minister Trudeau directed banks to freeze their bank accounts. Folks, when the money is in the bank, it's not your money. Remember that. Without access to your money, you cannot pay your essential items such as electricity, fuel, food, and shelter. China uses technology to coerce its citizens also. Governments and banks can use people's access to the money for control over them. Australia plans payment reforms that include a digital ID that can be tracked. Australia also plans a central bank digital currency, as Brazil just did. Banks are deserting towns and suburbs and leaving Australians without ready access to cash and banking services. A cashless society excludes some groups such as the elderly from the economy, chips away at the value of the cash by imposing fees on customers and businesses, is vulnerable to computer hacks and glitches, and makes it harder for people to budget. Isn't that wonderful? But it's to benefit the people.
Of course.
Aren't we so blessed that they take care of us so well? But on the good news side, big win. UK government will force banks to keep cash available to public. The UK. I would never thought that would have a UK. I thought maybe another country like Sweden, somebody would lead the way in this. But no, UK said, we're going to make you keep cash coming. The government will set unlimited fines for banks that fail to protect access to cash, the Treasury said in a major move against the march towards a cashless society. A campaigner, Nigel Farage, has called it a big win. Banks in the United Kingdom will have to provide free-to-access cash with withdrawals and deposits within 1 mile of a person's home in urban areas and within 3 miles in rural areas, according to new laws and rules being rolled out by the government to protect cash. Yet some pro-Christ campaigners point out the change doesn't go far enough, as retailers are still perfectly that entitled to refuse to accept cash as payment. The announcements come after months of campaigning against the encroaching cashless society and debanking people being led by Brexit Nigel Farage, and was announced just hours after Farage and Co's signatories delivered a petition to the government demanding cash be protected for decades to come. Well, good for the UK. Melody, I would not have dreamed the UK would do that. I would have thought all nations to go the other direction.
Well, you know, it's really hard to pull all cash out of a economy. But I mean, we saw India try to do it and it didn't work. There's a couple of other countries that tried to do it and it didn't work. Of course, I don't believe they had the governments in order that some countries have in order to make it successful, by pulling all the cash. I don't know how they'll do it, but they'll just do it. People, you know, there's so many people now living on the streets and the homeless continues to increase. It's usually I don't know how to claim them, the lower income or the lower society ends cash. I mean, your criminal elements all deal in cash. It's difficult. So I'm not quite sure what the reasoning would be behind them. I would always have to look for that ulterior motive.
Oh, yes. Of course. There's a reason for it, obviously.
Surely is.
China rehearses invasion of Taiwan with troops storming sea defenses in chilling war games, while Beijing and Russia stage joint naval exercises in the Pacific. The division of China's People's Liberation Army that oversees the Taiwan Strait has released a video which appears to show its troops practicing a coastal invasion of the self-governing island. The POA's Eastern Theater Command published the clip, which features a montage of soldiers storming beaches and driving tanks on dirt roads to a country-style Chinese ballad on WeChat yesterday. Though the post did not directly mention Taiwan, the Eastern Theater Command regularly conducts military drills in the Taiwan Strait. The Chinese Communist Party sees Taiwan as a renegade province to be brought back under Beijing's control, something that authoritarian President Xi Jinping has been said he's willing to do by force. But Taiwan's elected Democratic Progressive Party steadfastly argues it presides over a self-governing democratic capitalist society with overwhelming support from its people. It comes as Russia and China launched warships to conduct patrols of the Pacific Ocean and perform rescue training and drills for countering airstrikes, Moscow Defense Ministry said Friday. Yep, okay, we'll see. We'll see. And on the other war front, Denmark and Netherlands received formal U.S. approval to send F-16s to Ukraine. Wonder if that could heat things up, Melody.
Most likely.
Ukraine's continued impatience, the White House has finally issued a formal approval for the shipment of Lockheed Martin's made F-16 fighter jets from the Netherlands and Denmark to Ukraine. A letter sent from Secretary of State Anthony Blinken to Dutch officials said, "I am writing to express the United States' full support for both the transfer of F-16 fighter aircraft to Ukraine and for the training of Ukraine pilots by qualified F-16 instructors." Blinken additionally said the approval would allow Ukraine to take full advantage of its new capabilities as soon as the first set of pilots complete their training. But the slowness of the training program getting off the ground is precisely what has continued to frustrate Kyiv officials. Currently, only 6 of Ukrainian pilots are enrolled, and training is not expected to be complete by next year, possibly even next summer, a full year from now. So they're going to give them to them, but they don't know how to fly.
Who's going to train them?
That's a good point. That's a good question.
Already our men that we have over there will.
Oh, I'm sure they will. No doubt about it. Tuberville warns left is working against U.S. farmers. They're growing these insects to start feeding us insects. Senator Tommy Tuberville, Republican Alabama, is arguing that American left is working to diminish farmers' role in the United States. interview that aired on Mobile AL Radio, FM Talk 106.5, Alabama senior U.S. Senator touted the importance of the Farm Bill legislation, but said some of his colleagues were looking to alternate forms of nutrition, including insects, to feed Americans. I won't time to go through all that, but you're seeing a lot of politicians say, especially some of my colleagues on the left say, hey, we really don't need farmers. You know, our food's pretty good that comes out of Kroger's. God, they have no clue where food comes from. The Chinese are buying up our farmland because they're trying to feed 1.5 billion people, and we've got to keep our eye on small businesses with which is small farmers across the country. If we lose the small farmers, corporations will take over anyway. So they want to go into growing insects. Okay, we'll let that go for that. But I have got a good news story, Melody, for the last 2 minutes, if you want to read it to you.
I've got longer than that, so be my guest.
Okay, I don't want to rush through this because it's kind of sweet. Okay. Every now and then, I got to back up and hear something good is happening because there are good things happening. It's just unfortunate that the bad things are sometimes bigger in scope and get a lot of attention. Mom grateful for unbelievable kindness Colonial Heights police showed her family. The Colonial Heights Police Department in Virginia went above and beyond to assist an out-of-town family with a facial needs son. Sarah Ford and her family stopped to eat in Colonial Heights on their way home to New York. About 2 hours after leaving the restaurant, she realized her son's Liam left his iPad behind him. Liam, who lives with an intellectual disability, uses his iPad to learn. Ford called the restaurant and was told by staff that the iPad was still there. They would keep it in safe for her. Since they were already hours away, she called the Colonial Heights Police Department for help. Babette Hansen answered the phone. I told Hansen my son has special needs, and she was extremely supportive, Ford told WTRV. I'm a mom of three children, grown and grandmother of five. One of them is mildly autistic, and I know the needs of a mom with an autistic child, Hansen told the news station. Hansen called Lieutenant Jason Camara, who in turn called the Ford family to tell them he'd take care of everything. About 30 minutes later, he arrived at the police station with the tablet. Before mailing it back to the Ford family, officers filled it with some mementos from around the department. I was in tears for what they did for him, Ford said. Oh, that's beautiful. Melody, I mean, we could go through another article, too, of bad news, and it's important. We got to cover it. That's our job. We got to do that. But that kind of news makes you feel good that a police department would take time to go pick that up, mail it back, and give them trinkets out of the police department. This is a memento. Isn't that sweet?
That is really nice. And, you know, when we hear so much about defunding the police and so forth, they really do a good job. And the bad ones that are in there, you know, you're going to have bad people in any business, you know. So, good job.
We're going into another weekend, folks. I don't know what you got planned. My grandson flew in from Colorado, spent a few days with his 22 years old, flew in his own dime, flew in and paid his own way out here, and he's going to spend a week with Mamaw and Papaw. And to me, that's an honor. A 22-year-old grandson want to come spend time with Mamaw and Papaw. Most young men that old, mine is not on Mamaw and Papaw. He came out and he wanted to take a ride on our side-by-side Kawasaki mule. He rode it before when he was younger and he wrecked it twice. Nonetheless, he's a little more careful now. So I'm looking forward to a good weekend with the grandson. Going to take him, like I said, for a wagon ride this coming Sunday afternoon. Enjoy some time with him. You all pick out something to do with your family or friends. When you're around them, give an extra hug and tell them you love them. Melody, it's all yours.
Mamaw and Papaw? Is that
Mamaw and Papaw, yep.
Oh, that's nice. Yep. That's nice. But I think we're just about out of time, so I'm going to leave it there because it was a nice way to end the program. So we'll be back on Monday. Be safe out there, ladies and gentlemen. And until then, good night and God bless.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.